You take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'll draw your attention to the last closing verses of this chapter. Isaiah 40 will begin at verse 27, read down through the end of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 27. I'm going to preach a message entitled The Real Cost of Flying. The Real Cost of Flying. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 27. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Isaiah 40 and verse number 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Heavenly Father, Lord, meet with us. Lord, I just feel like, dear God, that this message this morning is timely and important in so many of our church families' life. And Lord, if it's not needed now, it will be at some point. So help us, Lord, to just focus in and listen. And Lord, I pray, dear God, thinking of our young people as I was preparing the message, Lord, I want to see them one of these days, every one of them, soar like eagles. Lord, I think you have wonderful things for them, great things for their life. Lord, may we understand, have a little bit more of an understanding of what that cost and what that takes. So be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. How many of you have never flown in an airplane before? Would you raise your hand? Never flown in an airplane before. How many of you are like, that's one of the things I'm dying to do. I want so bad to fly in an airplane. Really, really good. All right. Got some brave girls. All right. Some chickens, too, that's like, I don't know if I want to do that or not. You put your hands down. Sam, you've never been in an airplane. All right. So 23 days ago, I got on an airplane in Indianapolis and flew to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then 17 days ago, I got on a plane in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and made it back home and landed in Indianapolis, Indiana. And several folks have said, I've always wanted to fly. You know, some people come up and say, what's it like, you know? And then they'll say, no, don't tell me. Never mind. I want to experience it for myself. Don't tell me. But what does it cost? What did it cost, preacher? Preacher, you just flew from here to Albuquerque and then back. What does it cost to fly? And so let's say I decide I'm going to take Samuel. I mean, we need to get this marked off your checklist, okay, that you've never flown before. Now, this is all make-believe, so don't get your hopes up, all right? But we might as well just go ahead and plan it. If you want to find out what it costs, let's see here. First of all, I got to get to Expedia. There we go. All right, hold on just a second. And you know what I'm doing now? Waiting. I'm waiting. That's going to become important as we go forward. All right. Now, round trip, I'm assuming. You want to go round? You do want to come back. Okay. So now where would you like to go? Now, this is your chance. Take your time. This is a big decision. All right. So. England. All right. I kind of need the name of a city. London. All right, we'll do that. London. All right, in the United Kingdom. Okay, whoa, wait a minute. I made a mistake already. We just about ended up in the wrong spot there. All right. Indianapolis to London. Okay, when would you like to go? Right now. He's about to learn, isn't he? He's just about, We might as well go tomorrow then. Come on now. All right. We'll spend a week. Is that okay? A week? Is that all right? A week? You think you can say everything you need to in a week? All right. Very good. All right. All right. We're going to search. Now, what are you doing, preacher? I'm waiting. I'm waiting because this is the real cost of flying. I'm waiting. And now I'm waiting. But it's telling me that it's searching for flights from 400 plus airlines. It's also encouraging me to be patient right now. Now, do you got a lot of money? We better fly cheap then. Let's try to go as cheap as we can. Okay, all right. All right, here we go. All right, two tickets left tomorrow. All right, good. It's going to cost $1,648 for a round trip ticket. Are you okay with that? Okay. Y'all pray for me and Samuel. We're going to be departing tomorrow afternoon, 1:05 p.m. Will that work in your schedule? And we'll be arriving 11:10 a.m. the next day. It's a plus one situation, so it's going to be like an overnight flight. And let's see here. There's going to be, I won't tell you the rest of the details, okay? I've never flown before, preacher. What's it cost to fly? Well, you get online and you spend money, and that's the cost. What did I say? $1,648. I said, well, that's what it costs. Well, it's what it costs to get the ticket. When you get to the airport, and then you're going to want to check. Well, I'll save that, okay? But let's just live in La La Land for a minute and just imagine it's just going to cost $1,648 to fly. Should I have taken Swiss Air? I probably should have taken Swiss Air, shouldn't I? But he wanted to save money, so we'll do this. Multiple airlines. That's always a good choice. Multiple airlines, yes. We'll be stopping in Chicago, at O'Hare, in Dublin, Ireland, for a layover, and then on to London. Okay, all right, very good. You know, somebody's never flown before. Oh, preacher, what's it cost? Well, we just get online, buy the tickets. Oh, I'm so excited. Now, if you want to save money, usually what we're doing is getting an early morning flight. Amen? Those are the cheap flights. This one got us in the afternoon. I show up to your house. We leave at 1:05 p.m., but I show up at your house. We'll have to show up. I'll have to get there about four and a half hours early since we got to go through customs, probably 5 hours before we have to leave. And you're going to come running out, and I'm going to say, where's your bags? Oh, yeah, bags. And you're going to run back in. And you're going to pack. And then you're going to come out with stuff. You know, I need all this stuff. And so you're going to have all these bags. I'm going to say, throw them in. I said, get in the car. Why are we getting in a car? I thought we were going to fly because we got to get to the airport. And so we got to drive to the airport. What do we do is when we get to the airport, we got to park the car. Okay, we don't drive onto the tarmac, walk onto the plane. We go into economy parking. Okay, and so when you get into economy parking, you park your car, and you got to push a little button, get a ticket, because when you come back, yeah, I'll get to that. $1,648, that's all it's going to cost. $1,648. And so then we're going to get all our bags, and we're going to go over, and we're going to stand in this little area and wait for the shuttle bus to come. So we're going to wait for the shuttle bus to come. And then we're going to get on the shuttle bus. And then we're going to watch it stop at every other little point through economy parking. And at every one of those places, it'll stop. Nobody's waiting there. Nobody's in sight, but we're going to stop and we're going to wait just in case there's somebody that might want to get on. And then we're going to finally get to the airport. All right. And then the economy bus is going to drop us off. And then you're going to run off, and I'm going to say, hey, come back. You got to get your bags. Preacher, now listen to what I'm saying. Preacher, I didn't want to carry bags. I just wanted to fly. Preacher, I didn't want to have to get here 5 hours early. I just want to fly. Preacher, I didn't want to have to wait for a shuttle bus. I just want to fly. I just want to fly. Preacher, I want to fly. I'm talking about this morning, the real cost of flying. So then we get it. We get to carry all of our gear, and we have to get over. We come out, go into a building, then we go up an escalator, and then we walk a long hallway, then we go up another escalator, and we get to the ticket area. and the ticket counter. You carried your bags over there, and then you get in line. And you wait for a kiosk, not a person. You're not going to get to talk to a person. It's not that exciting. You go to a kiosk. So you wait again. And then when you finally get to the kiosk, you hit the button and you start punching in your information and it'll print your ticket. And nowadays, they're so helpful. It'll even print the things that you attach to your bags and you get to put them on yourself. They used to have people help you with that, but now you get to put it on. So you've got your tickets and you've got your bags all marked and tagged. And then you know what you do? You go get in line and you wait. You wait again, and you stand there, and you're watching people in front of you, and you finally get there, and there's a person that says, come on up, and then you walk up there, and then they weigh all of your bags. And if they don't weigh the right amount, then you get to open your bags and shift stuff around until you get everything weighed the right way, and then you show them your ID, and you show them your tickets, and they mark your bag, and then they say, you're ready to go. So we look on the ticket, it's either going to say A or B terminal in Indianapolis, and so we look at that, and then you know what we get to do? We need to go over to A terminal, and we get in line, and we get to wait in line. But there's a bunch of friendly people waiting to greet us. Don't worry about this. This is the fun part. We get to go through something called security. And then they have these little And they take you through this maze, this human maze, and you go back and forth. And you get to know the people in line with you because you pass them several times coming and going. By the time you get up there, you know their life story. You know everything about them. You know where they're going. And then finally, you get to the security guard. He's a very serious, or she is a very serious person. And they, you know, you have to wear a mask, by the way, this whole time. Until you get there, and then you have to pull the mask down so they can see that it's the same person that's on your driver's license, all right? Apparently, right in that one spot, COVID never bothers anything. Just right in that spot, you're safe. And then, after they do a careful examination, look at you several times, and you're just waiting for the SWAT team to come and get you, they finally say, yes, Mr. Ross, you're fine. And then you get to go over and get in another line to wait. And so, but there's something to do while you're waiting here. You're being reminded constantly that you cannot have anything that contains more than 3.5 ounces of liquid, that you need to remove your shoes and your belt, okay, and your hat. And if you got a jacket, your jacket, okay? And then, you know, as you're, so you're kept busy. You get these trays, you put your laptop in it, and then you put your suitcase there, and then you put your belt in there and your shoes in there and your hat in there and your coat in there if you have one. And then you start pushing this thing forward and you have to stay with your stuff until it finally gets to the conveyor belt. And then it starts going through the X-ray machine. And then they'll say, you can go. And so you go over and get in another line. Come on. And you wait. Now you're watching what's going on ahead of you. And then again, there's a very serious-minded, you can tell, a professionally trained person that is standing there bored to death. And finally, it's your turn, and they go like this, and you get to get into this big round cylinder. Okay, and then you assume the position, which is there's two yellow footprints on the ground, and you stand your feet on them, and then you go like this, and then this thing goes, and it x-rays you. And then you step out, and they say, wait right there. And I go ahead and just do this, okay, because not one time have I ever been x-rayed where they didn't have to pat me down. And they always have to pat me down around the neck and the right shoulder. I have no idea why. I've wore different clothes. I've wore different outfits. But Jerry Ross, when I get scanned, I'm always a suspect in the collar area and the right shoulder. And so I literally come out and go like this. And he's like, he's waiting for it to come up. And he kind of looks. I said, collar, right shoulder. And then he'll look and go, collar, right? How did you know that? Every time. Just pat me down. All right? So they check to make sure I don't have a bomb or any explosives underneath my collar. Apparently, that's right shoulder. A lot of terrorists put the bomb in the right shoulder, so they pat that down. And then they say, you're free to go. Now you're sitting in your socks. You're holding your pants up, okay, because you don't have a belt. You kind of waddle over to there, and then you stand there and you wait for the stuff to come out of the x-ray machine. This is America. This is America. Preacher, what's it cost to fly? We're getting there, all right? It all comes out of the x-ray machine, and you're praying. Okay, there's my laptop, thank God. There's my shoes, my belt, my jacket, my hat. My suitcase. Where's my suitcase? And then you look, and the lady has pulled your suitcase out and put it on a different set of rollers. This is not going to be a good day at the airport. So you get your belt, you put on everything you can, you wait. They say, whose bag is this? And this just happened. It happened on the trip to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so I think, what in the world's in my bag that, you know? And so he starts going through my bag. He pulls out. See, I took the same bag. Thank God it wasn't a gun. I took the same bag to the last trip, and on the end of it, the zipper part, I'd had a full bottle of Pepto-Bismol. You say, well, why? Well, that's really none of your business. That's what's wrong with you? Why would you ask that right here in church anyway? He pulls it out, and he just looks at me like, you moron. You know you're not supposed to have anything more than 3.5 fluid ounces. And so he's holding the Pepto-Bismol, looking at me, you know, and I'm like, so I lean over and I say, okay, it's up to you. Do you want me on a plane without my Pepto-Bismol or with my Pepto-Bismol? He takes the Pepto-Bismol, looks at me. He goes over and he starts swabbing the bottle of Pepto-Bismol, checking for apparently gunpowder, anything that has to do with explosives. And because if I were to sneak a bomb on a plane, I would disguise it as a bottle of Pepto-Bismol, you know. So he then looks at me, looks around, sticks it back in my bag and says, here. And I said, thank you. Good choice. Good choice. We're flying. No, we're not. We haven't started flying yet. We're not even close. We got to be close. We're at the airport. We're through security. Yes, we are. We're through security. That's good. That is good. Okay, so you've emptied your pockets. You've taken out your laptop. You've taken off your jacket, shoes, belt, hat. You've gotten through there. Full body scanner. Assume the position. Pat down. Exit and wait. Pull your bag. Step over here. Wait again. Finally, Samuel says, preacher, I'm so excited we get to fly. And we head over to our gate. And we are there an hour and a half early because you've got to be there an hour and a half early. You know why? But I have no idea, but you have to be there an hour and a half early. And so guess what we get to do? We get to wait. Preacher, I just want to fly. I know. I get it. Preacher, and alive. I mean, come on. I've never flown before yet. I know. I know. There's a price. You want to soar like an eagle? Come on, you want to experience incredible things in your life? You want God to use you in a way that nobody could argue is anything less than supernatural? You want to fly? You want to fly? There's a cost to it. There's a cost to it. Well, that's not too bad, an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes. So, okay, we'll go over to the court. Well, wait, before we go over there, let's check the board. Well, what's this? Well, this is the flight schedule. Make sure everything's not, you know, on time. And so we look at our flight, as I did in Albuquerque, New Mexico, flying back home. And guess what it said? A delay. Well, I was going to be an hour and a half. Now it looks like I'm going to be 2.5 hours. At 2.5 hours, about halfway into it, they bump it again. Now it's going to be 3 hours. They bump it again, and it's going to be 4 hours. Say, preacher, I just want to fly. I know. I want to know. I know. I know. I just want to get on the plane. I just want to get home. I know. I know. They say, preacher, why are you going through this? Because some of you are, right now, y'all, you're doing is watching the delay button and the delay time. And you're like, Lord, what's going on? I thought I carefully packed, and yet here I am in trouble. Okay, not another line, Lord. And at this point, maybe Samuel says, well, preacher, I just wanted to fly. Now we got to wait 4 hours. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of waiting. Well, you know what I'd say to you? There's the door. I mean, you know, you're not a hostage. You can walk out. You can leave. But I guess I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you want to fly? You want to fly? Because you can grab your gear and walk right out, and you know what? Security won't stop you. Well, I'll find a different way to get there. You might find a different way to get there. I promise you this. It's still going to cost you, and it's still going to take time. Okay? You're not going to get to England without flying unless you get on a boat. I think that's going to take, but it's up to you. Hey, young people, look at me. It's up to you. Okay, you want to fly? That sounded pretty exciting when we read those verses. So, you know, we'll soar like eagles. We'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. Well, I'd love to live that kind of a Christian life. Well, there's a price to it. There's a cost to it. So we finally watch and we see the delay and the delay, and finally, we look outside and the plane pulls up. We get to get on. No, there's people that need to get off. And so you know what you do? You watch them all come off and you wait. And then, well, they're all off. Let's go. Well, now we got to clean the plane because, you know, the new sanitation standards. And that's going to take another 40 minutes. And so you know what you do? Come on now. You wait. You wait. Preacher, I want a great marriage. I want a marriage that just takes me. I mean, I want the kind of marriage that we soar through the air. And I mean, it's just everything I dreamed. And okay, okay. You want to soar like an eagle? Wait. You want to soar like it? Come on. You want to soar like an eagle? Wait. And so now finally, we got our tickets. We've been waiting 4 hours. And finally, it's like Sammy goes, okay. And then they say, if you are, if you are a Delta, a Platinum member, and he looks over at me and goes, and I look over him and go, if you're flying in group one, which is first class, and he looks at me and I go. So you know what we do? We watch those important people walk through. The attendant smiles big at them. They offer to carry their bags. We're not them, okay? Group A. Would Group A stand at this time? And Samuel jumps up and I'm like, we're not Group A. Group B. Nah. Group C. Yes. Group C. I said, you know what C stands for? Center seats. Center seats. That's all that's left. I mean, we don't get to sit beside each other. No, we don't get to sit beside each other. So he gets on the plane. He walks past. Never been on a plane before. And he sees all of these really nice, soft, huge chairs. Plenty of leg room. They're already sipping on soft drinks and eating sandwiches. And you walk past them and you look over and say, preacher, I want to sit up there. Listen. That's not your assigned seat. Well, I don't want my assigned seat. Well, do you want to fly? Do you want to fly? Because if you're going to fly, there's a assigned seat on your ticket. Well, preacher, just sit in your assigned seat. Well, how am I going to know? Well, I don't know if I'm going to like the people beside me. You want to fly? Come on. You want to fly? Seems like everybody wants to fly, but they all want a private jet. Come on, they all think they're LeBron James or Kobe Bryant on a helicopter, or how'd that work out for him? All right, you know what? Do you want to fly or not? Okay, so you go back and you get a center seat. And long legs. Bro, me and you suffer on these planes, brother. It's not good stuff. But you pray that there's two things that's not true. You're going to have a person, you know, C stands for center. You're going to have a person on either side of you. So say this as kindly as I possibly can. Pray for someone with minimum capacity. And pray that you don't sit down by a mother with a crying, screaming child. Okay. Me and Doug Castle. anytime we fly together, you know, we don't get seats beside each other usually, so it's always hilarious. I don't know if there's anybody more cursed than Doug Castle when it comes to flying on an airplane and who he has to sit beside. So the last time we flew together, I told him, I said, I'm going to have a pretty girl sit beside me, and you're going to have this big fat guy that takes 3/4 of your seat. I said, I guarantee it. I guarantee that's what's going to happen. He goes back and sits down. He's sitting there by himself. Here comes this huge guy. I'm like, I know where he's sitting. And he did. He sat in his seat and on Doug's lap all at the same time. I just looked back. I'm looking at him. Here comes this college-age young lady. Reminds me of Tabitha. It looks a lot like Tabitha. She comes over. She said, is that seat taken? And I said, oh, no. I said, what's your name? And she tells me, and I said, well, my name is Jerry Ross. I'm a Baptist preacher. And she said, starts crying. She says, my grandma, the last thing she told me before I got on the plane was, I'm going to pray that you're set beside somebody that's a Christian. I can't wait to tell her that I'm set beside a Baptist preacher. Grandma prayed for me. I'm an answer to Grandma's prayers. So I told her, me and my wife's taking our daughter. She went to college in California, lives out there. We took her to airport a lot of times, put her on a plane by herself going to California. I said, I know how your grandma feels. I'd always pray, Lord, help her to sit by somebody that's kind, somebody that would take care of her. And the only problem is the kid's nervous because she doesn't fly that much and she's chatty. So I don't mind talking to get to know you a little bit, but then I want to go to sleep. Okay, that's my plan on the plane, is to go to sleep. And so, but she's not tired. And so she starts talking and she starts talking and she keeps talking and she keeps talking and she keeps talking and I keep answering and I'm trying to be nice. And I didn't get any sleep on that flight. I look back and Doug's now he's leaning on the fat guy while he's doing it. So I still think that I'm a winner here, okay? Maybe I'm not sleeping, but really? You know, and well, preacher, I don't like where I'm sitting. I don't like who I have to be with. Do you want to fly? Well, folks, there's a lot of things. Come on, I'm talking about the real cost of flying. I think you understand that I'm talking about this on a spiritual plane. You know, so many people want to soar, but they don't want to pay the price. They just want to get online, push a button, charge it to a credit card, and then soar like an eagle. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. Come on, young people, listen to me. Doesn't hurt to wait. Doesn't hurt to wait. Come on, it doesn't hurt to pay the price. Doesn't hurt to pay the cost. I mean, everybody wants instant everything. You know what God says? He said this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Walk and not faint. So me and Sammy, we land and he's so excited. And he says, we're in England. I say, no, we're not. We're in Midway. The airport from Haiti is Midway Airport. We go through the same procedure again. Wait, 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 wait. Get on another plane. We're in Dublin, Ireland. Preacher, I just want to get to where I'm going. Young people, listen to me. The cost of soaring like an eagle and the cost of the blessings of God. You know, I just want to say this. I'm not mad at anybody. But you know what? I'm almost 60 years of age. And you know what? God's allowing me to do some things that I never dreamed I would do before. But don't just look at Jerry Ross now. Look at the times I spent waiting in line. Look at the times I thought that God had forgotten me. Look at the times where I just had to grind it out. Look at the times where I sat in a seat I didn't want to sit in. But you know what? It was God's will, so it was okay. Look at the times I had to endure the things. Listen, everybody's looking for a shortcut. But if you want the blessings of God, then pay the price for them. Wait. Wait on the Lord. He does have great things for you. He does want you to soar like an eagle. He does want to give you supernatural strength. He does want you to experience things you couldn't imagine. But there is a cost to doing it. There's a cost to doing that. You know, even once you get flying, sometimes you find out pretty quick it's not all that you thought it would be. You know what? I've flown just enough now that things don't shake me up too much. But I've been in an airplane that all of a sudden dropped 50 feet. I mean, just in about 3 seconds, just dropped 50 feet. You've been there, Brother Joe? You guys been there? That'll change your life, man. If you didn't have a good prayer life before, you got a real good prayer life. Come on. Remember those people we passed at the beginning that was eating the big sandwiches and the Cokes and sipping on the... Yeah, they bring us peanuts. And you will be shocked at how much of excitement is in that plane over a little bag of peanuts. It's like people are just watching and waiting for this person to give them a half of can of Coke and some peanuts. That's what you get. Well, I want something different. Do you want to fly? Do you want to fly? Well, I don't know how many times I've flown through Denver, Colorado. And you know what? If you're going to land in Denver, Colorado, you know what you're going to deal with? The front range. You know what that wind does coming off the front range of the Rocky Mountains? It shakes your plane. Every single time I've ever landed going into Denver, Colorado, that plane starts doing this on the way down. And you're thinking, man, I hope this guy's flown for a while. And I mean, there's times where you're getting near the runway and you think, we're going to crash. Well, did you want to fly? Did you want to fly? Preacher, what's the real cost of flying? What's the price you pay to soar like an eagle? Wait for the right ticket. By the way, we could have flown for about a third of that cost if we'd have waited for the right day. Okay, he wanted to go tomorrow. Come on, I got a bunch of young people. You want all your freedom tomorrow. Well, there's a big price tag that comes with it. Wait during the ride up there. That's part of the trip. Wait for the shuttle bus. That's part of the trip. Stand there, wait for the kiosk. Doesn't do any good to sigh and mutter and kick your luggage. It'll come when it comes. Come on, wait to check your luggage. You're going to have to wait your turn. Wait in security line. It's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. Wait in the scanner line. Wait as they pat you down. Wait as they search your bag. Wait at your gate. Wait if there's a delay. Wait if there's weather issues. Wait if there's mechanical problems. I started pulling out. I mean, after this four-hour delay in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we finally got on the plane. They backed away from the gate and got about 20 feet. The man hit the brakes. A light came on. We sat there. Pilot said, we've got problems with the brake. We're waiting for a mechanic. Mechanic comes. We're going to have to pull back up to the gate, and we're going to unload, and we're going to have to move you to another gate. We have another plane that we'll be able to put you. I would say, what's that called? It's called flying. It's called flying. I hear people cussing. I hear people complaining. I hear people going on and on about how they're going to miss their connecting flight. Folks, listen to me. You know what? God is ultimately in control of your life. And if God didn't want me on that plane, the rest of them can cuss and swear and carry on. Well, you might have to sleep on an airport. It's better to sleep overnight in an airport than it is for people to be reading about your plane crash the next day. Hey, God knows what He's doing. But preacher, I'm frustrated. I just feel like I'm stuck in an airport. I'm tired of sleeping on the ground, and I'm tired of eating peanuts, and I'm tired of paying for overpriced food, and I just want the next thing. I get it. But you know what? God is teaching you things while you're waiting. Okay, so you wait. There might be a mechanical. You wait for your group to be called. You wait for your ticket to be scanned. You wait in the loading ramp. You wait to get your seat. You wait for the plane to push off. You wait for your plane's turn to take off. You wait for the seatbelt sign to go off. You wait for your permission to use your laptop. You sit in the seat assigned. You sit with people you may or may not wish to be with. You land at a stopover, a place you didn't even want to be or want to go. But guess what? It's part of the trip. You wait to unload. You walk to another gate where you now wait for your connecting flight. You wait for your group to be called. You wait to have your ticket scanned. You wait to board to get assigned a seat that you may or may not like beside people you may or may not like. You wait to push off. You wait to take off. and then you fly, you fly. Then you land, and you wait as they coast to the terminal, and you wait for the seatbelt light to go off, and you wait as people in front of you disembark, and you wonder at the idea that why did they now begin to gather their things? We've been getting ready to get off for 20 minutes. You go to the baggage area, and guess what? You wait for your luggage, and you wait for the right list. What I'm saying is there's a price. There's a price. Preacher, is flying awesome? Yes, flying is awesome, but it costs something. If you're going to soar like an eagle, you have to realize the real price of flying is waiting, waiting. You want to fly? Do you want to experience new heights in your Christian life? Do you want to accomplish amazing things for God? You need to remember that the price tag is waiting, waiting. Look back in Isaiah chapter 40, if you will. Look at verse 27. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage some of you right now. Preacher, this is resonating with me. I feel like God's forgotten me. All I want to do, preacher, is fly. And every time I seem like I take a step back, there's another line that God's pointing. There's another delay on the board. There's something that sets me backwards again. Verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? What is Jacob and Israel saying? What are they complaining about? What are they muttering under their breath? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Listen to me. I want to be an encouragement to you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Don't lay accusation against God. He knows where you're at. Part of flying is waiting. Number two, somebody greater than you is in charge. Look at verse number 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Somebody greater than you is in charge. Every delay has a purpose. Every delay has a purpose. Every delay has a purpose. What is God trying to teach you? What is he trying to get across to you? Well, preacher, why did I have to change planes to another airport I don't want to get to? I don't know. Who's sitting with you that you need to learn something with? God has a plan for everything. I finished 4 years of Bible college, and you know what I did on the fourth year? I went and attended the graduation. I said I attended the graduation. I didn't graduate. Your fourth year of college, and you're sitting out there watching people that came the same time as you do move a tassel, that is hurtful, that's painful, that's like, really, Lord, why didn't things work out for me? Many of them had their way paid to college. Many of them didn't have to work two jobs. They were able to take more hours. But you know what? I got frustrated waiting. Go to my fifth year, and you know what I do? I attend graduation. I attend graduation, I don't graduate. Well, you know what? Why don't you just quit? Yeah, I can leave the airport anytime I want to. So can you. But you know what? I want to fly. Lord, I want to fly. I want to fly. He says, then get over there and get in that line. Lord, I'm tired of sitting in lines. Go over there and stay in that line. Why? I'm not going to tell you why. Trust me. Just get in line. Samuel, if I took him with me, probably 100 times he'd say, why do we have to do this? I'd say, because we do. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to fly? Do you want to fly? But you know what? My third year, after I should have graduated, I got moved to a new bus route. Me and my wife found a little girl by the name of Lydia Villagrana. And you know what? We got her to come to church faithfully. And we watch God transform her life. Are you listening to me, folks? See, we're so worried about the destination, and God's not worried about the destination. Destination's up to him. And I've looked back sometimes and said to myself, well, why in the world was it hard for me and it seemed like so easy for somebody else? God's like, I needed you on that leg. I needed you to have to have an additional stop or two because there's some people that you needed to influence. And by the way, can I say this? Lydia and Mike Lemma will win more people to Christ than any, listen, 10 times more people to Christ in Mexico than I have in my entire life. It was part of my journey. You know what? Listen, young people, be patient. It's part of your journey. There's things, you said, preacher, but I don't understand. There's things I don't understand. Listen, Some of you don't understand, as much as you hurt sometimes for yourself, your preacher hurts for you too. I keep catching Gracie's eye back there, and I don't want to embarrass her, but I mean, she's of an age where that girl ought to be flying, and you know what? She's battling health problems that she don't want. She's dealing with things that a lot of kids at her age don't even imagine, can't even imagine, and I hurt for her. You know what? I want her just to fly. But you know what? It's part of your journey. And then, so you wouldn't be alone. You know, God kicked your older sister in the back, knocked her down. She comes home. Come on, we've talked. You know what this girl wants to do? She wants to be in a classroom teaching somewhere. But I think, I'm going to tell you what I think. You guys have probably figured this out. But I think you're going to look back at what a special time the two of you, how much you've helped each other. Am I right? It's part of the journey. Okay. John Ross calls me. He's so excited. Man, you referred me to Brother Starr out there in Mount Zion Baptist Camp in Pennsylvania, and he's calling. He wants me to do junior camp. I'm like, my nephew. I quit camps. They call me. Well, who do I get if you won't come? Go get John. Might as well ruin his life. Amen. Go get John. Imagine John in economy seating. I mean, that's got to be. Want to set by that guy, I'll tell you what. Takes him 7 hours to get there. Preaches camp all week. He's texting me back and forth. It's awesome, man. I can't remember where I was preaching. I think Oklahoma while he was there. So we're both preaching camps, and he's preaching back and forth, or texting me back and forth, telling me about all the services. And I'm like, that's so awesome. So we get on a plane about the same time to go home. You know, he's flying from, where was he, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. And I'm flying out. I'm driving back from Oklahoma. I didn't fly to Oklahoma. I'm driving back. And so I'm texting him, you know. Okay, It took him 7 hours to leave Alabama and get to the camp. It took him 30 hours to get home. 30 hours. Mechanical problems. Disembarked the plane, put him on a second plane. Mechanical problems. I don't know if it's a good idea to fly right now. By the time he gets to his first stop, he misses the flight. Last flight out, guess where he spends the night? If you never spent the night in an airport, you're blessed. You are blessed. I say, what do? You walk around or you sleep? Where do you sleep? Well, airports have decided that it's very important to have armrests between every single seat. Why in the world do you have armrests? It would be nice if you just had a place to lay down, but no, that's not going to happen. So one of the reasons you don't use hard luggage for your carry-on, you use soft, is because it could be a pillow. Okay. He wakes up the next day, supposed to get out on the first flight, cancel the flight. Second flight, mechanical problems. It took him 30 hours. He keeps texting me. I've been home for, you know. I said, John, how do you like the glamour of preaching out? Isn't it amazing? You know what? He wanted to fly. By the way, that boy's flying. Come on, young people. That boy's flying, but you know what? When he was in the Christian school, he got in line. Come on. Come on. When leadership said, okay, you've stood in that line long enough, now go over and get in that one. He didn't throw a temper tantrum, go out, leave the school, jump in his car, and drive off the property. He just went and got in line. I'm trying to help some of you, okay? You say, preacher, this isn't very deep. It's extremely deep. It gets right to the heart of it. Listen, folks, we don't get to decide what the journey is going to be. Okay? John enjoyed almost the perfect trip out there. Everything went right, Brother Joe. And then I told him, I've got some nightmare stories. I don't have a 30-hour nightmare story from Philadelphia to Dallas, Texas, Mobile, Alabama. I said, you've just started doing this and you already got the worst flight story than I have in 30 years. Young people, wait. That's it. This is a message this morning. Wait. There's going to be turbulence. It's part of the flight. There's going to be weather delays. Part of the flight. You're going to get on a plane and think you're finally going somewhere. And next thing you know, the intercom, the plane's going back and you're unloading. You say, Lord, what are you doing in my life? You know what he's doing? He's teaching you something. He's teaching you. This happens in my time, not your time. This happens my way, not your way. If you want to fly, I'm going to break you down some. If you want to fly, come on. If you want to fly, there's going to be some delays. You want to fly? Get in line. You want to fly? By the way, flying great. Flying's amazing. But there's a cost. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Thank you for that all that it teaches us. Thank you that, Lord, when we're weak, that's when you become strong. Goes on to say that even the young men, yep, even the young men, even the youth are going to struggle at times. But they that wait upon the Lord. Lord, as you put some of us here, there, when delays come in life, when things happen we don't understand. Lord, help us to seek your strength. Seems like we got to get weak before we can get strong. We have to sometimes faint before we know what it is to operate in the power of God. Lord, whatever you're doing in our church people's lives, help them to just take a deep breath. Lord, help them to smile and know that you're in charge. Pray these things in Jesus' name.